Wave Sound presents an unabridged recording of August in Kabul by Andrew Quilty, narrated by John Robertson. Prologue. The boarding of flight EK640 from Dubai to Kabul on Saturday the 14th of August 2021 was eerily routine. There were only 50 or so passengers, almost all Afghan, for a plane that seated around 400. But, as anyone with the means was leaving Kabul, it was hard to understand why those already out would want to fly in. Yet passengers and cabin crew alike appeared unconcerned. An Afghan-American passenger told me he'd come from the United States for a wedding. The flight attendant packing an overhead storage bin told me the crew would stay in Kabul overnight and depart, as scheduled, on the return flight the next day. Had they not seen the news over the past week? I'd been in France to attend the wedding of two friends, one French, the other British, who I'd met in the Afghan capital a few years earlier while working for a UK development organisation. I was one of only two guests at Ed and Fleur's nuptials who was still based in Kabul, the other being Ayesha Wallismal, a Norwegian-Afghan friend. Having lived in Kabul for several years, summer weddings in the south of France of Kabul couples like Ed and Fleur, often multinational, multilingual pairings, had become an almost annual event. This was partly because southern France was brimming with idyllic wedding venues, but also because it was a relatively central destination for the kinds of peripatetic friends that couples who meet in a place like Kabul tend to collect. For the dwindling number of foreigners who remained in Kabul, those of assorted vocations but similar ideals, aid and development workers, political advisers, analysts, human rights lawyers, journalists, these weddings enabled time, often overdue, well away from the low-frequency disquiet that distinguishes a city that, while not at war per se, hosts regular, isolated acts of war. The weddings also served as de facto reunions for foreigners who had once lived in Kabul but had since dispersed. Some, like Ed and Fleur, who'd built a business in London from the foundations they had laid in Afghanistan, or the journalists who continued to write about the country from afar, maintained meaningful, if somewhat dissatisfying, connections. They'd often describe being glad to be out of Kabul, while lamenting an intangible deficit of purpose that tinged life in the Western capitals in which they'd resettled. For any congregation of Kabulians, past or present, however, leaving Afghanistan...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?